and welcome to Rejuvenate Your Hormones and Wellness. This is Colleen Power Kupka in Scottsdale, Arizona. So how are you today on this nice, fine day? It's pretty nice here. I was out in the garden this morning planting various, you know, tomatoes and some greens, and we'll see what happens. this last summer, I tried to put together a garden, and unfortunately, it got beat down due to either heat or bugs. So I'm hoping that I have a better chance this time. You know, I just got back from a hormone conference. It was great. Learned a lot of information, in which I hope to bring to you all in future episodes, but glad to be back. Did you know that October is Menopause Awareness Month? Yep, I never knew it. But since 2009, the International Menopause Society, in conjunction with the World Health Organization, designated October as World Menopause Awareness Month. And really, the goal was just to raise awareness of menopause and the support options available for improving health and our well-being. So did you know that 3 out of 5 working women between the ages of 45 and 55 who are experiencing menopause symptoms say it has a negative impact on them at work? Not surprising, right? And while 2/3 said that they were less able to concentrate, and additionally, more than half said that they experience more stress. Well, 30% say they have taken sick leave because of their symptoms. Wow, right? So it does have a pretty darn good impact on us, doesn't it? So today, what I want to talk about is about progesterone versus progestin. Have you heard about progestin? Do you know the difference between progesterone and progestin? Real simple. Progesterone is made by our body. Progestin is not at all like our natural progesterone, and it's made in a lab, and structurally, it is not the same at all. So different animal. What I will say is I think progesterone is probably my favorite hormone, and that even includes for myself, meaning I see it do so much good. There is absolutely no study out there, no study showing that progesterone will hurt us in any sort of fashion way. If anything, it's going to protect us. All of our receptor sites, there are many, love to bathe in progesterone. And I will tell you, ladies that come in that are suffering from insomnia or anxiety, it is the perfect, perfect hormone to help relieve that. I'm not so sure why there's such a hesitancy out there in prescribing it. Because again, there's just nothing that clinically will affect us adversely with this medication. I do think it can partly be due to a study that was done back in the 1990s and published in 2003. The study was the WHI, or the Women's Health Initiative. There were problems with it. There were adverse events, but also the thresholds in those studies, they weren't exactly right. So the study within itself can be very, very confusing, but for some reason, people want to put it back to today. Even so, when I can go into just a normal journal article and pull up, it'll say something about, oh yeah, progesterone is causing all these problems. No, when you go into the body of the study, what you find out really, it is the progestin that was causing the problems, not the progesterone. For the study as a whole, there were 373,000 patients, a little bit more than that. Out of that, 161,809 were ages 50 to 79 years old when they were enrolled in the observational study or clinical trials. In this study, they were looking to see if there was anything that could help prevent chronic disease. So the first thing they wanted to look at was diet, low-fat diet versus self-selected diet, hormones, and also supplementation of calcium and vitamin D versus placebo to see if it would help. The clinical trial and observation studies, they were conducted at 40 clinical centers. And again, the purpose of the study was to really evaluate the health outcome of postmenopausal women receiving long-term hormone therapy. Also, they wanted to see how HRT might help with the prevention of chronic disease, such as cardiovascular disease, cancer, and osteoporosis. And let me tell you about the participants. They were in the ages between 50 and 79, like I said, average age 63. So being 63, they had more risk, more risk of having heart disease and that kind of thing going on. Only about 3.5% of these women were aged between 50 and 54 and had recently entered into menopause. To be in this study, they could not have menopausal symptoms such as hot flashes. And about 35% of the women had used hormone therapy prior to the study. And about 13% were using hormones at the time they enrolled, but they had to be off the hormones for at least 3 months before starting the trial. Now, let me tell you about the women that were in this study. They were past the 10-year window, meaning that menopause usually occurs from 50 to 53 years old. These women, the majority, were at 63 years old. So they already had time to be building disease, you know, within their arteries and all that kind of thing. 35% were overweight. 34% were obese. 36 were treated for high blood pressure. And half were current or past smokers. And there were some that were on statins. Not the healthiest of women, right? So on the hormone side of the study, they had an arm which for women that did not have uteruses. So they didn't have a uterus, and they placed them on conjugated equine estrogen, or what's known today as Premarin, and they compared it against a placebo. Now, conjugated equine estrogen is a synthetic estrogen. It comes from a pregnant mare's urine. They dry the urine to a powder form, and it is considered natural. However, is it really natural to us humans? I don't know about that. It does have a little estradiol and a little estrone in it, but also contains foreign estrogens that are just not found in humans. So it's considered natural, all right, but I don't know that our bodies recognize it. On the second arm, the women that did have uteruses, they placed them on estrogen plus medroxyprogesterone, which is known as progestin, versus placebo. And they began monitoring these subjects in the fall of 1997, and it was scheduled to last until 2005. However, it was abruptly stopped in 2002, mainly due to the fact that they found an increased risk of heart disease and breast cancer. Then in 2004, the estrogen side of the arm was stopped due to increased risk of stroke and effects on heart disease. It also found that it was an increased risk of blood clots in the legs. However, they did see a reduction in hip fractures and a significant effect on colorectal cancers. So not surprisingly, the announcement caused panic among doctors and women, and there was a dramatic drop in prescribing HRT. In the U.S., the drop was about 46%, in Canada, 28%, and similar drops occurred in countries such as Germany and the United Kingdom. Bottom line, though, the WHI findings did not apply to most hormone therapy users. It had major design flaws. It should have not been extrapolated to all women, especially younger women, as the older women already had established coronary arteries disease. Then in 2006, the estrogen side of the story came back and said, wait, there was no increase in breast cancer at all. So to break it down, medroxyprogesterone is structurally different. There's a medroxy group attached to the progesterone, which is added to that, you know, to the structure. So it makes it progestin. Progestin is way, way stronger than progesterone. It acts differently. It's synthetic, and our bodies do not make it. The addition of progestin to the hormone treatment regimen has been reported to inhibit estrogen's protective effects in some exactly opposite of progesterone, which is protective. Some of the negative effects may be due to pro-inflammatory effects of the progestin or the ability of progestin to antagonize estrogen's anti-inflammatory effects and endothelial function and or serine lipids. Medroxyprogesterone increases the risk of breast cancer. Progesterone does not. So let's talk about progesterone. Progesterone is important for postmenopausal women, perimenopausal women, premenopausal women, pregnant women, And again, some providers are just kind of oblivious to that. Why? I don't know. All women benefit from progesterone. So what is progesterone? Progesterone is a hormone that plays an important role in our reproductive system. It supports menstruation and helps maintain the early stages of pregnancy, right? In our reproductive years, what was the purpose of progesterone? The main function of progesterone is to prepare the endometrium lining of the uterus for a fertilized egg to implant and grow. If a pregnancy does not occur, the endometrium sheds during the menstruation cycle. So where is it made? A small amount of progesterone is produced by the corpus luteum, which is part of the ovary, which releases hormones for a variety of bodily functions. It's considered a vital organ, but it's very short-lived. It appears in one of your ovaries during your menstrual cycle, and its job is to produce progesterone and relaxin that support pregnancy and childbirth. So if the egg that your ovary produces is fertilized, the corpus luteum increases progesterone production, which continues on for several weeks. Without fertilization, the corpus luteum just stops working, and in a few days it shrinks away and gone. In females also, progesterone is also made by the placenta, an organ that develops during pregnancy, as you may know, to help support the fetus, right? If you're progesterone deficient, which can happen with PCOS, it may be very difficult to carry a full pregnancy. There is no natural source of progesterone when it comes to hormone therapy. It only comes from a synthetic chemical process. However, it's structured exactly to how the corpus luteum makes it. No animals, no plants can provide a natural source. So why is progesterone important to women? Well, it has many non-reproductive functions in the central nervous system to regulate our mood, inflammation, mitochondrial function, and neurogenesis. It can help regenerate myelination and help with recovery of traumatic brain injury. Also, other areas of the body affected by progesterone are the limbic system, which controls emotion, psychological symptoms, and epilepsy. And the hypothalamus, which progesterone helps with the menstrual cycle, reduces hot flashes, increases libido. The preoptic area, which progesterone helps with sex drive. In the meninges, progesterone helps with headaches. In the lungs, it helps with the symptoms of asthma. The skin, it helps with dryness and thinning alopecia. It'll help the eyes for the prevention of glaucoma. The breast to protect them from breast cancer. The uterus to protect them from fibroids and cervical changes. You know, progesterone also opposes or moderates many side effects of estrogen or excess estrogen, such as water retention, bloating, headaches, bleeding, fibroids. It also improves cardiovascular health, stimulates hair growth, has anti-androgen properties, and helps decrease anxiety and our mood. You know what? And if the body does not produce enough progesterone, there's a risk of increased pregnancy loss, preterm birth, and ectopic pregnancy. Did you also know that giving progesterone first trimester of pregnancy may protect from miscarriages? That's right. And then after giving birth, progesterone levels will drop and cause a woman to experience severe depression, which a few doses of progesterone could really, really help. And also, if you're in menopause, you no longer have a corpus luteum, so you no longer make progesterone. So progesterone is important in menopause. It protects our endometrial lining. It helps with bleeding issues. It helps balance estradiol. It relieves symptoms of anxiety, depression, and brain fog, as I mentioned. And it also helps with insomnia. There's also diseases that are associated with low progesterone, such as endometrial cancer, breast cancer, dementia. Are there side effects to progesterone? Yeah, you can have it every once in a while. Dizziness, drowsiness, headache, nausea, bloating, and breast tenderness. I don't get a lot of those complaints, to tell you the truth, but from my patients. However, I will tell you this, progesterone has not had the same issues as medroxyprogesterone, such as increased cardiac risk, increased stroke risk, increased blood clot risk, increased breast cancer, and dementia. It only downregulates breast tissues. It decreases breast density. It increases the good HDL or the good cholesterol, decreases the bad cholesterol, increases mood and memory, provides uterine and breast protection. It is the hormone of pregnancy. So a bit more about progestins and medroxyprogesterone, which is under a brand name called Provera. It can be used to treat amenorrhea, abnormal uterine bleeding, endometrial hyperplasia in women, and it can protect the endometrium. So progestins are also used in IUDs, birth control pills, Depo-Provera injections to help jumpstart fertility within a woman so she can to help with her period and then eventually have her ovulate, PMS patients. And I will say this, take a look at the patient information sheets on IUD or any of the birth control pills and look at the adverse events that can occur, very similar to what we've been talking about. So what are some of the adverse effects that progestins can have? Well, high blood pressure, depression, breast swelling, and tenderness, and cause hair loss, increases the risk of breast cancer, irregular bleeding, increases cardiac risk, increases diabetes risk, increases the risk of dementia. It can be androgenic or testosterone-like, causing acne, increases the risk of DVT and pulmonary embolism. It decreases the good cholesterol, the HDL, and increases the LDL, the bad cholesterol, and increases edema. Progestins do nothing to prevent anxiety, depression, or insomnia like progesterone, as they do not convert to a non-steroid called alprednisone, which helps calm our GABA receptors. It does help prevent endometrial cancer, but nothing else like progesterone. Why not just use progesterone versus a progestin that can cause all these problems, right? In breast development, normal breast development requires the presence of estrogen and progesterone. And progesterone acts in synergy with estrogen to regulate breast development through a specific receptor site on the breast epithelial cell. Progesterone used alone is not associated with an increased risk of breast cancer. No risk of breast cancer is associated. Controlled studies and most observational studies published have found that the addition of synthetic progestin to estrogen in hormone replacement therapy, particularly in continuous combined regimens, increases the risk of breast cancer compared to estrogen alone. Also, with DVTs, recent studies have demonstrated an 8-fold increased risk of DVT with the use of progestin. Progesterone has no effect on any clotting at all in any study. No effects on clotting. Although, if you look at the PDR, which is kind of weird, it lists DVT risk, though there is no risk in any study with progesterone. So they just kind of put them together. Wrong. They're not the same. Bottom line, all menopausal women must avoid all progestins to avoid breast cancer, coronary artery disease, or cardiovascular disease. Now, there was a study, and it included Danish women, and it was in the British Medical Journal, and it occurred in the years 2000 to 2018. And the Danish study looked at women over a course of many years using HRT. Participants were women 50 to 60 years old with no previous history of dementia or contraindications for the use of hormones. This was an observational study, which means they did not give HRT versus placebo. They determined that there was a 24% increased rate of dementia with women that used HRT than not. Women taking HRT over 12 years had a 74% higher risk of dementia. Now, this study contraindicates other studies that state HRT may prevent dementia. We continue to say, they always say this, we need more research to figure out what's driving this disease. My thought is, let's take a look at the drug that is being used and that has been used in the past that has caused so many issues. And guess what the drug was in this study? Exactly. Oh, estrogen, not estradiol, and progestin. Ding, ding, ding. Why is this surprising? Progestins have caused issues in so many studies, including the WHI. It is not natural to our body. It is not the same as progesterone, as you've been hearing me say over and over again. But here we go again. The fear-mongering of hormone therapy. When do we finally get it? Or when do they finally get it? It's crazy. So then get this. There's another article that was out lately, and it says more young women are getting breast cancer and they want answers. And a study that was published in JAMA for women younger than 50 between the years of 2010 and 19. And what they're finding is that there's an increased risk of breast cancer. Well, let's think about these women, their age, what might be being introduced into their bodies at this period of time of their life. Birth control. Think about it. Progestins. Anyway, my husband and I were talking about it. It's just interesting. Nothing was mentioned of any kind of drug, but, you know, it really possibly could be a factor. So let's talk about the forms of progesterone that you can get. Oral is preferred. Oral micronized progesterone capsules. Natural progesterone. It's best absorbed. It's the best to help with insomnia. You can get it from a compounding pharmacy. Also, you can get Prometrium, but it's crazy money. It's like $300, and that's not good on Rx. So not cheap. Oral progesterone is metabolized and broken down by the liver. Now, you may think creams are good, and I'm not knocking them, but what I am going to say is that the results are poor in serum levels. Does not help anywhere near the oral progesterone does. Does not help with depression, does not help with anxiety or insomnia. It's difficult to get the transdermal creams level to the levels that you need to have good results. And also transdermal results, for the cream, they can be high in the saliva. So if you're just testing, you're getting saliva tested, it's going to be low serum levels, probably most likely. Now, some people will complain of some side effects, bloating, nipple tenderness, dizziness, drowsiness, maybe some vaginal bleeding, some GI effects, nausea, and headache. But you know, quite honestly, I'm not getting a lot of those complaints from my patients. Every once in a while, somebody comes up with something, but it's not on the whole that I'm seeing that at all. So bottom line is this, since the WHI, there have been multiple studies proving the safety and efficacy of progesterone and estradiol, and these are not the hormones that were used in those studies. The conjugated estrogen and medroxyprogesterone, totally different, totally different. So on that note, I hope you learned something today about progesterone and progestin and how important really progesterone is for our body. I cannot say it enough. Men cannot take progesterone, just so you know. But for women, it's really important. We've had it throughout our whole entire life. And if we're to go down to nothing, that's when we start suffering from insomnia and anxiety and things that would never, ever upset us before. So I want to thank you so much for listening to me this week. And no way here, though, should you take this as medical advice. This information is of my opinion, my thought, and entertainment. It's not meant to prescribe medical advice. However, if you are having hormonal problems or you're wondering if you do, feel free to reach out to me at our office, 480-589-3999. I'll give you a 10, 15 minute consult to see if I can help you out. And if you really do need hormone therapy, then we can go from there. On that note, make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you can receive new episodes right when they're released. You can either subscribe right now in this app you're using to listen to this podcast or sign up for it at my website. Lastly, I do have a quick favor to ask before we go. If you've enjoyed this podcast, I hope that you will let me know. I would love to read through your reviews in Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And if you have a minute to spare, let them know too, Apple and Spotify, that you enjoyed the show. Please, please include any topics that you would like covered in future episodes. On that note, look for us next week. I'm excited. My next podcast is going to be on PCOS, which is due, just a hint, insulin resistance, but also PCOS patients have low progesterone. And yes, there's help for it. So look for us next week. Cheers to a week of rejuvenating your hormones and health.